I'm on the observation deck of the Empire State Building to demonstrate how much material Waste Management recycles. As North America's largest residential recycler, last year alone, Waste Management recycled 12.9 million tons. How much is that? Let's do the math. Carry the six. It's enough to fill this building more than 27 times. With experience like that, we're bound to have a program that can help your business recycle. Talk to Waste Management or visit thinkgreen.com.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
Eureka! You found us! Welcome to the Check Out California Radio Show, your key to California hospitality. Hosted by Rad Gantos, principal of Rad Gantos & Associates, a hospitality and commercial real estate design firm. And Craig Sullivan, chief development officer of Broughton Hotels, a boutique hotel management company. Check Out California is focused on our state's hospitality, travel, and tourism markets, and on the large part they play in California's vibrant and innovative economic diversity and unique quality of life. Now, here are your hosts, Rad Gantos and Craig Sullivan.
Good afternoon and welcome to Check Out California. I'm Craig Sullivan. This is our very special guest, Jenny Redland from Partner Engineering and Sciences. And Mr. Rad Gantos is MIA, except we do know he's in Vegas. So he's been there all week working a conference. And Rad, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, and I cannot confirm or deny that I'm in Vegas.
Ah, we can. I've got a live video feed. We've hacked into the system. We saw
everything that you see. Believe everything that you're seeing.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Not anymore. It's all on the internet.
Obviously not. Right?
So I'm very, very happy to have Jenny Redland with us. Jenny is one of the principals behind Partner Engineering and Science. And they are a third-party reporting company that works nationally but has a heavy focus here in California, both commercial real estate and the hospitality sector. Jenny, welcome to the show. I want to start off with one thing before we really get into you giving us your bio. We've had a horrible time in Northern California and Southern California with fires. A very good friend of mine, Sonny Patel, and his family are amongst the victims of the fires up in Northern California. He and his family have lived in a hotel that they've owned for over 20 years, raised their kids in this hotel, and they got burned out. Luckily, everybody was okay. They're safe. They're devastated right now, like so many others up there. And please know that we are all thinking of you, and you are in our prayers. And, hopefully a speedy, speedy recovery for our fellow Californians in both Northern and Southern California. So now that I've sucked the oxygen out of the room.
Before you bring the oxygen back in, I'd like to also reach out. I'm at this conference here in Vegas, and it's a spa industry conference. It's actually the largest spa industry conference that we have. And you could tell the vibe. There's a lot of people that were impacted that are in hospitality in Puerto Rico, in Florida. There's people that I know that I've known for over 20 years who lost their home. It burned down completely to the only thing standing is the chimney stack and the stone frame around the front door in Northern California in Sonoma area. And it's just very tragic. Like you're saying, you know, we know that people will rise. These are high caliber people. They will rise like phoenixes, but it's just, I can't even begin to imagine the loss on the personal level, emotional level. So our hearts do go out to them, and definitely keeping them in our prayers.
Absolutely. Jenny, would you tell us a little bit about yourself and your company, please?
Sure. I was just going to say something about the fires that,
some
of these stories that you're hearing coming out now, you know, people, treading water in pools while the flames are burning around them. Yep. And just, I mean, I just can't imagine anything more frightening. And
we're
lucky that, so many people were able to escape.
Exactly.
Yeah, so on to a lighter note. My name is Jenny Redlin with Partner Engineering and Science. And like Craig said, we are a nationwide environmental engineering and energy consulting firm for commercial real estate. And clearly, hospitality is one of the sectors that we service. I personally love the hospitality industry. It's very dynamic. They always have really great projects to work on and usually in fun places.
So. Are you ready for it, Rad? It's in our DNA. I say that every show. It is in our DNA.
We need some sort of like sound effect, Paul, when he says that. I don't know where it's just.
What
like
sound does DNA make?
Yeah.
Well, no, Jenny. It's more like what sound does.
There you go, Paul.
What sound does Craig make? That's a little dated though. That's kind of gong show. You know, I think you need a something. I'll shut up, Paul.
So, Jenny, as a provider of third-party reports, commercial real estate transactions nationwide, and focusing in on California and the hotel sector in particular, what kind of activity are you seeing out there? What's driving those deals right now that you and your firm are involved with? Is it development? Is it refinances? Sales? All of the above?
I mean, it's all of the above, but I would say the majority of things that we're involved in is definitely the refinances. I think people are still taking advantage of the historic low interest rates and just repositioning their current assets. And then I'd say secondarily, construction. So hot still. I have seen a small downturn of late. So less new projects. You know, we're still very active in a lot of projects that have, you know, already gotten legs and are off the ground. But a little slower startup on the new things. People are still sourcing out new locations, though. I'm getting calls every day still to, you know, I'm thinking about this one. Let's go take a look, that type of thing. But yeah, generally speaking, hospitality is still hot as opposed to, you know, maybe 10 years ago when
it was in the tank. Yeah, a little less activity is being cut. Now, with your third-party reports you're doing, and I'd like you to explain this to our audience for sure, because we've got principals out there that are listening, and they may not know of all of your services, so I'd like to have you give them a little bit of background on each service that you do provide. And, you know, if you're a deal person, send in a question to us. Paul, would you give them your Twitter page and they can tweet in a question to us live?
Very simply, they can go to OC Talk Radio. So hashtag OC Talk Radio. We'll check the Twitter feed. They can also, if they so desire, because Rod's on the phone. We only have one in line here. So do that or send anything, email paul at octalkradio.net.
And he is also our administrative he's also our administrative assistant, so he can book you on the show as well. No, just kidding.
He looks cute in cargo shorts. And, he's always showing some leg, you know.
Jenny's making a funny face as you say that. I'm not sure she agrees here.
He does have cargo shorts. Sorry.
Well, what can I tell you, Jenny? This is the way it rolls. Right? But listen,
we do have fun here.
Paul, if we're live feeding on YouTube, I think, at least, right?
Yes, we're in live on YouTube. We can go to OC Talk Radio's YouTube channel or OC Facebook. Just look up OC Talk Radio, and we're on there as well.
Yes, we are.
So for people that are listening, and I do apologize for hogging the incoming phone line, but you can always send us messages or ask us questions while we're on there with Jenny here on those two stations on YouTube or on Facebook, and we'll try to basically incorporate those into our remaining
operators standing by.
There we go. So, Jenny, back to your services. could you tell us what services you're offering? You know, I know you're doing Alta surveys and maybe going to that in the phase one and everything else that your firm's doing, please.
Yeah, basically, I kind of like to put it into two different buckets. So there's the folks out there that are interested in buying existing product, right?
Right.
So it's already built. Maybe they're going to, you know, change a flag or something like that. But it's an existing asset. So on projects like that, we're usually brought in. And when we say due diligence, there's a lot of due diligence that you need to do on a commercial real estate transaction.
Right.
Looking at the books, seeing if it pencils, that's not the type of due diligence that we're doing. We're really the physical due diligence company. We're looking at the actual property itself. So if it has to do with something, you know, about the building, about the dirt it's sitting on, you're likely going to call me.
Right.
So we're doing, like you mentioned, the phase one environmental site assessment, making sure that there's no contamination either nearby or on your property. We're doing the property condition assessment. How's the HVAC? How's the plumbing? How's the roof? All those types of
things. Very critical, especially when you've got a 30, 40-year-old hotel at this point.
Absolutely. And looking for the low-hanging fruit. You know, how is this asset performing? You know, if you're already planning on renovations, maybe your renovation budget is already going to take care of some of the deferred maintenance items on the building. Maybe you're going to think about negotiating price. So the property condition assessment can be a great tool for that as well.
Absolutely.
And then on the flip side, if you're selling that asset, you might want to call me too and have that property condition assessment done before you bring it to market so you don't get retraded.
Don't get a haircut. That's right.
The Alta survey clearly as well. And then especially important for the hotels are the ADA surveys.
Please. Now, is that taking up most of your time, the ADA surveys, the phase one, the mechanicals, Altas, is that really the backbone of what you're doing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. For the hotel industry specifically, I think that's definitely what we're focusing on. I would say, really, as a company, our environmental assessments in infill areas, you're hard-pressed to find a piece of property these days that doesn't have some sort of old issue.
Right.
An old gas station that used to be there. Hotels, old hotels are notorious for having dry cleaning operations.
There you go.
you know, back
say,
in the
day. Dry cleaners, with a plant.
I mean, great idea, you know, to service your clients.
Right.
It's a horrible idea from an environmental standpoint.
Yeah. Now that would have been the older, you know, full service properties in the 60s, yeah, mm-hmm. 50s. Not so much in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, certainly. But, you know, when all that stuff went out from under the roof of the hotel, but certainly prior to that, when you had corporate America traveling, I need to get my suit pressed, I need to have my shirts cleaned, I'm going to be here for a week and get a series of meetings.
Overnight dry cleaning, heck yeah, right?
Exactly.
But everyone's smarter than that now. They don't do that on site anymore because of all the environmental implications. Yeah, so I would say that's definitely, those are the services that we're providing, you know, existing inventory for sure.
Absolutely. Now, Brad, you got any questions yet?
I was going to actually, just for the benefit of the listeners, I know we're talking about this from the prospect of engineering, but we are talking about ADA. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been in effect since, I think it was Jenny, correct me, was it 1990 when it was first implemented?
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot around here, Rad. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let me take you off the spot. I think
that was before her time.
At least from the early 90s. And because I remember when I was going to design school, I'm aging myself, you know, but that's another show.
Older than dirt.
That's a total, yeah. It is very much the case. But I just wanted to add to our conversation that's happening. This is such a critical thing that you have consultants and experts in the field actually helping you versus people that are just, you know, supposedly, you know, have some knowledge base. You need people that are qualified to help you with this, because I will tell you, there's been a rash of ADA compliancy lawsuits that are not even engineering based when it comes to hotel properties. They're ones that are basically access of website and navigation of website not being accessible in the way it is designed. Yes. So this ADA compliancy thing, we are talking about it today specifically with the expert position from engineering and physical property, but this is no joke. And in many cases, these lawsuits come fast and furious from attorneys that are basically looking to just blanket things. So at the very least, get somebody like Jenny and her firm that are experts in this, to protect yourself at least in your physical environment. But you really, really, really should not be messing around with this if you're a hotel property.
Yeah, not at all. And I think that's a great segue, Rhett. Thank you. Jenny, why don't you go in a little bit more detail about the ADA surveys and compliance issues and remedies that you're seeing out there right now with the hotels?
Definitely. I think the first and foremost step is know your exposure. You know, you don't know until you know. So have right. someone out there to take a look, let you know. And even if you don't have the funds to fix it immediately, if it's a large ticket item, you can fix the low-hanging fruit, the super visible things. You know, maybe
signs in the parking lot.
Signs in the parking lot. You know, these
ADA
lawsuits,
parking.
You know, they just do drive-bys. So the things on the exterior of the property are usually the ones that get flagged first. So exactly,
right.
the parking.
Yeah.
And very easy to restripe a parking spot, that type of thing.
Well, and don't you have to hang the sign at two different levels? One for a bus and one for a car or a van and a car?
Right, exactly. Yeah. In different specific areas. I mean, there's all sorts of things. And then you get into the interior of the property and, you know, how high the doorknobs have to be, the different railings, all of those different things really make a difference. And like I said, you can make some of those fixes for very little money.
Yeah.
And really decrease your exposure.
Yeah, a lot of times you could have the hotel engineer take care of that, or you could bring in a Park West General Contractors or somebody else into it. So
yeah.
I think you're right.
Well, and if I may add also that, you know, we said a minute ago that, you know, it was in effect, let's say it went into effect in the 1990s, but there's been actual updates and major updates to the ADA regulations and the American with Disabilities Act over time, including a recent one a few years ago. And so just because you're a property that may have been ADA compliant at the time that it was built, and
right.
I see this happening from my interiors perspective, these properties go through PIP projects, property improvement projects, and they basically go in and they start messing around with a few things. And I had a case, yes, last week, actually, I talked to Jenny a little bit about it, and you know, for the benefit of the client. And it was like, this is an existing property. It has a food and beverage outlet in it. It's been 15 years. They had the design package that was submitted for renovation that actually did not account for any of the recent updates to the ADA code. And when asked, they said, we thought it was grandfathered in.
Ugh.
It is not grandfathered
in. No, not at all. Yeah.
Wow. That's the most, I have this conversation. If I hear grandfathered in one more time from one of my clients,
right.
they all assume that. And it's like, no, true that a renovation project usually spurs you to update, but that doesn't mean the liability's not there.
Exactly.
You can still get sued.
Yeah, no, it does. And again, I mean, it's a cottage industry down in San Diego. Last time I heard, San Diego was the capital of ADA lawsuits being filed. You know, there's a group of attorneys, that's all they do. And I think, you know, okay, being an asset manager, being a lender, I think that's something, and being an owner, that's something that you need to review on a you know, at least a two-year basis. And
you know, Craig, let me just add this. It's funny. I've been hearing this, and I'm sure we all have been hearing this from the early 90s when this ADA code came in. It was like this. Now I have an albatross around my neck as a developer or a builder or a property that's a commercial property. And basically everybody's looking at this stuff and saying, I don't want to deal with this. What's the quickest way I can get this thing to go away and not deal with it? It's going to be costly. It's going to stifle my ability to basically design a property, whatever. The funny thing about this, actually, as we have an aging population in certain markets, is in fact there are opportunities when you are faced with having to do modifications that can improve the experience of the spaces. I mean, the case in point is the one that we were just talking about. They had a problem because they had a stand-up bar. There was no handicap or ADA compliant height counter for two seats at least in a bar situation, right? Well, here's what's funny. We spent a week going back and forth where they were resisting. Then we said, why don't we just lower the whole one side of the bar to where you have now a little bit more, almost like a sushi restaurant kind of setting, and now you have a dining experience that goes beyond, and at the same time, you have met the requirements for ADA, and all of a sudden, it has a new experience that is now built into existing facility.
Creative thinking,
so,
outside the box.
It really all depends on how you approach the question, exactly.
No, good call.
Mm-hmm.
Good call.
Build it into the design, that's it.
Be a part of the solution, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Be a part of the solution. Jenny, are you having any input with any of the brands, with the Hiltons, the Marriotts, the Hyatts of the world, IHGs? Are they calling you as experts to help them out with their property improvement plans or anything like that?
Yeah, the way we get involved with PIPs, the property improvement plans, is more on when a property's changing hands.
Yeah.
And the new owner wants to fly one of those flags.
Yeah.
So then we're presented with Marriott or such and such as PIP and build it into our property condition assessment. And kind of marry the two and say, hey, look, you know, you're with your property condition assessment, these systems are aging anyways, and guess what? The PIP calls for low flow, whatever the heck it is, whatever it is that they like. And so we kind of marry those two. Another thing that we've been effective in doing too is a lot of the owners, the PIPs are somewhat negotiable.
Right.
So we can help them kind of meld and find more cost-effective solutions in negotiating their PIPs with
just like Rad's solution with this local OC hotel. That's right. The great thing about having a designer. How long is it taking you to do your surveys? Let's say, and I've recommended you for years to various clients all over the place, and always will. And you know, looking at a couple of things myself right now, and hopefully we'll get you involved with that. We can get them under contract. But, you know, let's just say I want you to do a phase one, an alpha survey. I'm really not going to be concerned about the mechanics of the property. You know, let's say I'm going to tear it down I'm going to do a four to six story hotel, you know, and it's pretty straightforward. I'll do the underground parking and the podium and go from there. So how long does it usually take you to complete all these assignments once you've got them under contract?
Sure. Your baseline, like, look, you're kind of like go, no go, you know, I want to put this under contract before you go hard, essentially.
Right.
You're usually looking at about a 3-week time period.
Okay.
Although right now it's really a seller's market.
Yeah.
And buyers are getting completely pressured to perform much more quickly and to go hard faster.
Right.
Which means that we have to perform faster. So we are.
Yeah.
We're getting things done 2 weeks, even 1 week sometimes.
That's what I was going to say, because typically, I mean, right now what I'm seeing on the hotel side is you've got, you know, usually, you could have anywhere from a 15 to 30 day due diligence period, but you know, you're probably getting in closer to the 15 day.
Yeah.
And then
it's crazy.
30
when,
day
when
is 45
to 60 used to be the norm. Time frames are definitely crunched.
We
have good relationships with our clients. We know what's happening in the market, and we are getting it done for them.
Absolutely. And now you've worked with a multitude of lenders, not just the local, you know, commercial banks, but also the national, the Wall Street firms, mm-hmm. and all of that. Can you give us some of the nuances, some of the differences that you're seeing, you know, with a Wall Street firm versus the community bank and the national bank?
Sure. I think, generally speaking, the community banks, the smaller lenders, have less due diligence requirements.
Okay.
So a lot of maybe smaller owners that are just relying on what their lender says they need are maybe not doing all the due diligence that they really should be doing. So, that's great. Just realize that. Your lender says, hey, actually, I don't even need a phase one. Don't worry about it. I just run this environmental checksy thing and we're good.
Wow. That's kind of scary.
It is scary. And then these people who maybe it's their first property they've ever bought, and they don't even realize that a phase one is actually protection against CERCLA liability in the future. And so they don't get that almost insurance policy, essentially.
Right. Exactly.
So I see that, which is not great. And then, of course, it goes all the way whenever I call it OPM, when you're using other people's money. then all of the due diligence requirements just start stacking up.
Absolutely.
You know, actually, one thing we didn't talk about, which we really should because we're here in California, is the seismic assessments.
Let's do that. We're going to go to a break right now. Our engineer is going to play a couple of random commercials, and then we'll be back.
He used to pester me for a walk. Now, it's the other way around. Hoag physicians perform more orthopedic procedures than any other hospital in Orange County. Our orthopedic program, in fact, ranks among the top five in the entire country. So whatever it is you live for, you can get back to it sooner. Because as it turns out, the best part of life is simply living it. Hoag for life. Visit us at www.hoag.org.
Back to the show.
Okay.
That's fast.
That was fast. We just got our headsets off and put them right back on. Okay, Jenny, let's go back to what you were talking about before the break, please.
Seismic.
And now,
earthquakes.
I just want to say something real quick on that. Is the city and county of Los Angeles got a tougher seismic requirement than the rest of the state, or are they?
So the state has no requirement.
Okay.
It's city by city.
Ah.
So San Francisco was the first one to put
after
out
the bridge
an ordinance.
The marina area got.
Actually, it wasn't even all that long. It was 3 years ago now.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
So they put out an ordinance for. And mind you, there's always been laws in place through the building code.
Right.
So the building code gets updated usually after a major earthquake event, and we go, oh yeah, we thought that would stand up well, and whoops, it didn't. And then they reconfigure things and then issue a new building code.
Whoops, it didn't.
Literally after every major earthquake event, a new building
code comes
issued.
Out. Okay.
Generally speaking, newer buildings are built, to the newer building code and will hopefully sustain an earthquake better than older buildings. But more recently, both San Francisco, Los Angeles, Santa Monica, mm-hmm. Oakland, tons and tons of smaller cities are adopting seismic ordinances, which require specific types of buildings to be retrofitted. LA's ordinance is targeting soft story wood frame multifamily.
There's a ton of that in the San Fernando Valley
so
and the
much.
West Side.
I grew up in the Valley. There wasn't an apartment building without a tuck under parking spot.
Right.
And whoever thought that would fare well in an earthquake event. They're little poles. Of course it's going to fall down.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is the concrete tilt-up buildings, so the very large industrial spaces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, warehouses. The roofs just tend to collapse right in. And both of those have building age of dates, so basically pre-80, it's 78 and 79, but basically anything 80 on is not getting affected by the ordinance. Doesn't mean that it won't fall down in an earthquake, but
and it doesn't mean that it won't change in the future after the next earthquake, because there's the oops factor again.
People are getting notices in the mail, and it's a big deal. Now, clearly, hotel properties probably are not going to experience a forced retrofit at this point.
Right.
But because it is such a public space, having a building that will withstand an earthquake event, you can hire an engineer like us to do a study to show you, kind of model how it would fare in an earthquake event.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Now, you don't see a lot of hotels with tuck under parking, for one.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a little boutique. Bless you, my friend. Yeah, in West LA, let's say it's been converted to a little boutique hotel.
Yeah, that would be possible.
Yeah, so what are some of the fixes for this?
Sure. For the tuck under, they have kind of a steel framing that they manufactured for this exact purpose, and they put it into place. So it's just extra bracing of the buildings.
Building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So reinforcing it.
Now, will that cause you to lose any of the parking spaces?
Great question. That's always on everyone's mind because clearly parking is an issue. Typically not. You usually lose only a few inches. And typically, that's not enough to put a parking spot out of commission.
Okay, good. I was going to say, if it isn't, all of a sudden that becomes where the bicycles go if you're renting those or
some
motorcycle
use.
Parking, something. But,
parking affects zoning, it's a big problem.
Absolutely.
What about fire regulations? Especially with the recent fires.
As far as ordinances and whatnot, the fire regulations are from the building code perspective. That big London fire that we had afterwards, everyone was like, oh my goodness, how did that even happen? Could they possibly not have sprinkler systems and all those types of things? So I would say, there was a lot of discussion around that, and do we have it here? And the answer, generally speaking, is yes. Clearly, the older it is, you know, the less of a chance. There are checks on these sorts of things, so they've probably been caught and forced to upgrade. So typically speaking, you should be okay.
Right.
But, you know, fire life safety, that is one of the assessments we do along with our PCA. We're looking at that type of thing.
As you should be. I mean, you know, not only for the ownership perspective, but, you know, the brand perspective. Marriott's got the toughest. It's module 13, I think, out of their PIP. Fire life safety is the most stringent in the industry, as it should be. Mm-hmm. They go well beyond city ordinances in many cases. You know, you've also got you know, this case where you've got some buildings that were converted, and you know, it's the owners, it's the brands, lenders have got to be driving that, the insurance carriers. So all of that has got to be, you know, something that you factor into and work with all those various entities throughout the due diligence period, and especially the insurance carrier to be or the lender that's been engaged. We've got questions, and then you're on the hot seat. You've got to come through and give them the answers that they not necessarily want to hear, but have to hear.
Right.
And the new owner's going to have to hear that as well.
Yeah, so. And I think that's, you make a good point with the lender, kind of the lender-driven requirements, again, back to that, versus the owner-driven requirements. A lot of times the lenders will have specific things that they want to key in on that you as an owner either don't care as much about or should care more about than your lender does.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that. Again, just because whatever your lender wants should not necessarily drive what due diligence package you should be getting. And you should not necessarily share all of your information with your lender.
There you go. Paul's got a question for you, Jenny.
Yeah, one of them, we had a tweet that came in, and I think it was in response to what Craig just said about the chain exceeding local regulations. The point that, and I've heard Rod talk about this a lot through the years, why is it everybody's trying to do the minimum? Why not do more than the minimum to avoid the litigation, to avoid the loss, to avoid the bad reputation that comes with all? Why are they always just trying to get away with as little as possible?
Well, you know what, Paul?
Is it just money?
I think that's a point of view that I really don't, you know, adhere to. The glass with me is always half full. I always want to know more. I appreciate that Marriott does have such a stringent fire life safety protocol. You know, that's probably one of many reasons that helped them grow worldwide. I think basically everybody does want to do the right thing. Now, do you have a scenario where corporations and that always getting back to the shareholder and the profits come into conflict with doing the right thing? Yeah, that does happen, unfortunately. But, you know, I think the insurance carriers, the lenders, the owners that you're seeing today, especially out of corporate America, and these private LLCs like I'm part of, you know, we take that very, very seriously, a lot more so than you saw 20 years ago, certainly 15 years ago, that fire in London, the fire in Vegas a number of years ago. We had a fire in Long Beach a few years ago out of in a high-rise apartment or condo tower on Ocean Avenue, in between Pine Avenue but closer to 2nd Street, where you lost a few floors there. And, you know, that horrible fire in Oakland, was it last year, where they took a warehouse and basically converted it into illegal housing. Mm-hmm. So, you're unfortunately always going to have some that try and skirt safety. I think it's deplorable. I think it's, you know, absolutely horrible. But you've also got companies, Disney, globally, at all their theme parks, their safety and everything is paramount. Cleanliness is another thing. I think you find that at Marriott, Hilton, IHG, boutique hotels, Wyndham, you know, Red Roof. Everybody is concerned about that. And, you know, there is a collective to do the best that you possibly can. I really believe that.
But Rod's talked about even the ADA, where people come in and say, well, what's, like you were talking about earlier, what's the minimum I can do? Oh, my goodness, I don't want to do all this stuff. I'm just going to make it okay and
that's
get through.
That's why our ADA laws have gotten so stringent. So now you don't have the choice. You know, we overregulate once we get to that point. But, you know.
Let me add my two cents, as my name is being bantered around here as a person.
No, you're sick. Not in the studio. You don't get a chance to talk.
No bantering. Okay, but you picked the wrong show if you're thinking no bantering.
Yeah.
But I think, Paul, in my experience, I understand. You know, I have this very, very strong kind of like sense of I want, just like Craig, you know, and Jenny, that we want to kind of do the right thing. We'd like to see people kind of do the right thing. However, I will say this: I think in many cases, we as professionals, we have the responsibility to educate that client, to educate that person who's looking at that property in a manner that is proactive about what some of these things that they are looking at in a negative manner can be if they just switch their look at it or their perspective on it. And in some cases, it actually could make a property that's underperforming change dramatically, but they're just not looking at it that way. So I think our responsibility sometimes is to tell that client something that may be difficult to tell them, but that is why they are hiring us.
Exactly.
And I think that's what differentiates certain consultants from others, is that we are willing to put that relationship we have with that client at risk temporarily for what is in their best interest.
In their best interest. Jenny and I are both shaking our heads yes, so I don't know if you could see that on Facebook Live or YouTube.
I can. I thought you guys were having...
But there must be...
Having a little seismic tremor or something.
I'll give one last shot at my cynicism here, but there must be consultants out there that when I go shopping, the one says, you got to do this, and I'm saying, I'm going to go to another one. They say, well, maybe we can get away by doing this, and that's how they win the job.
Well, that's, you know...
I think you have to frame it, right? You
right.
Say, hey, look, this is, for instance, let's take the seismic because that's a good illustration of this. So the ordinance says that you have to strengthen it, let's say, every third opening, right?
Yeah.
So the ordinance is really out there to protect life and safety. So LA City is saying, look, we just want to make sure that our citizens can walk away out of that building.
Right.
So that's great, and if you just don't want to get penalized by the city, if you don't do the ordinance, then I can design this retrofit for that purpose. However, you also are an owner of this asset that you want to be able to rent out after a big earthquake
event. Absolutely.
Right.
Keep your cash flow going, so I'm still appealing to them as owners, not just, hey, let's spend money just to spend money, but you want this, you know, you want your ROI still coming in the door.
Yeah.
So really, if I can retrofit this, spend a little more money, make this even safer for your tenants, and preserve collateral.
And part of the checks and balances are also going to be your insurance carrier and your lender.
Maybe your insurance will go down.
Right.
It'll be easier to get a loan.
Not
all those
violation of your loan covenants of the existing loan because you haven't adhered to life safety or health safety codes. So, yeah, good points, Jenny. Thank you. Hey, let's talk about the green components. You're doing a lot of SBA loans where there's a green component with that now.
Sure.
So what type of products are you offering to help them achieve that additional cash out of a 504A?
Right. Yeah. So the SBA, there are actually a few different lending programs out there. There's the PACE one too, and
right.
The SBA. For hotels specifically, there are other green lending programs for different commercial real estate types. So we have a sister company called Partner Energy. So we're Partner Engineering and Science, and we do all of the, you know, building science and environmental, and then they're our energy arm. So they're doing the energy audits. They can get you certified green through a multitude of different programs. Clearly, LEED and Energy Star are the ones that everyone knows the best.
Yeah.
But there's so many more out there that are maybe even more achievable, more economical, and then will help qualify you for some of these green lending programs. I find that the hotel industry specifically, because a lot of them are quote unquote owner users, for the smaller guys, the Marriotts of the world are not doing that clearly. But and if you have a green, and a lot of these, we'll go through, do our energy audit, identify a whole bunch of different measures that you can take that will do two things. It will save on your energy bill.
Right.
Great. You're a hotel owner. You pay the energy bill.
Yeah, exactly.
These are not triple nets. And also get you a better loan.
Yeah. And now imagine what your water bill is. Because not only have you got everybody taking a shower, let's say you got 200 keys, you got everybody taking a shower at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. You got a pool, you got jacuzzis, you've got laundry,
yeah.
Okay, and that's running all day long. So, yeah, so that's a huge cost. Hey, Rad, on some of your designs, are you now factoring in the green components for your spas and other design assignments you're working on right now?
Very much so, and I think, and Jenny and I, and we were prepping for the show a little bit, I kind of threw out a little, I was trying to be a little bit of a, you know, devil's advocate. I said, you know, let's talk about green, but let's talk also about greenwashing, right? And that wasn't using a biodegradable detergent. That was cases where people are basically telling you to do certain things that at face value may look like you're being environmentally sensitive, but again, you aren't really. And that's where you need that expertise and that skilled professional to help you, especially if you're going for lead, because there's so much out there language-wise about green. And I see it a lot, especially when it comes to like spa projects, for example, or wellness centers, because now everybody's saying everything from what is on my skin to what I use in there to what I touch, you know, and they're being sold a bill of goods in some cases. However, we're putting more and more emphasis on genuine and authentic ways of implementing green, because not only is it good for the environment, all that stuff that we talk about, it also has a strong market and brand positioning value. And so it differentiates properties from others. And if they can then tie in like their programming and their, in the case of spas, their treatment offerings or their wellness programs or whatever, to where they are environmentally sensitive, they are green, and then they give back to the local community, then you got this very integrated brand that lives the words that it says it stands for.
Or is that just monetizing something, another aspect of the hotel?
Well, I mean, again,
I'm not being cynical. I'm just, you know, it's
No. I absolutely agree with you. I mean,
and I am cynical, but not on this. So.
I think it's a smart thing to do. It kind of goes back to sort of similar situation we talked about with this bar, particular bar situation in ADA. If you can find opportunities in things that you have to do and spend money on, and you can somehow quantify a return on that, be it value of promotion, marketing, better experience for the person that's in your space, all of those things are not just money that you're spending because either you have to or you think maybe it's the right thing to do. You're actually getting value back from it, including potential resale or making your property more appealing to somebody who's looking at basically buying.
There you go. There you go. See, now those are the things that I touch on. And you know, Jenny and I go back, before you were married. How long have you been married now?
7 years.
So we've
been together by 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years plus. And I've been singing that song about, you know, LEED certification, being, you know, having a green component at your hotels, because my feeling is this, and, you know, I hope the Twittersphere just blows up over this. My feeling is this. If you do not use LEED or some other program when you are building a building, you are accelerating the obsolescence and you are not maximizing your value on that property. No matter if it's
absolutely
an apartment, a retail center, a hotel, a junior college, whatever it may be, a movie theater. You know, with the LEED certification, and I'm going to use U.S. Green Building Council. Now, do you do the LEED certifications
in
house? Okay,
yeah,
so there's another.
Certify. Absolutely.
Perfect.
Energy Star, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're under those programs from beginning to end and you get your certification, okay, my feeling is not only are you going to have an efficient building, you're going to have a comfortable building, you're going to have an envelope that works for the area that building is in, and you are going to make it something special, and you are going to be able to drive your ROI. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we want. But
you'd
I think
that'd be such
idea.
An easy sale.
You think?
So we started Partner Energy probably 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And uphill battle. I thought this would be the easiest thing in the world to sell. Like, not only, you know, just kind of the feel-good product. Clearly, you know, I'm a greenie. You know, I'm an environmental consultant by background. That's what I am.
How you started, yeah.
But all that aside, it just makes dollars and cents. That's what it makes.
Exactly.
And you would think that that'd be a really easy sale. But with these triple net properties, with hotels, that's why I think the hotel industry has gravitated to the green more than some of the other food groups in commercial real estate. But they're just like, hey, I don't pay the bill. I don't care.
Well, I think another part of it is, too, is most government employees, whether it's military or the EPA or Treasury or anybody else, they are now requiring that you've got some sort of LEED or other program certification.
If you want a GSA tenant.
Right, yeah.
So that's helpful, too.
Yeah, that's helped out a lot. So,
But, yeah, and then, you know, if you look back, now we have enough of these products online that are quote-unquote green. You can look back and look at things like, you know, for the hotel industry, you know, service, quality, style, comfort. Did going green affect any of those? Because that was a concern.
Yeah.
But no, it's been around long enough now that they're saying, hey, look, we were easily able to achieve a 10 to 30% reduction without sacrificing any of those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it just makes sense all the way around. Now, I'm starting to hear a new buzzword. It's bluing instead of green. Is there another phase that's about ready to come out where blue is supposed to be more intense on these processes? Have you heard anything about that?
I
think red. Weren't you with me when I heard that?
Yep. Yes, absolutely. And that's actually what prompted our kind of cynicism to be heightened and going, oh, here we go again. Now we got another label. But yeah, you know, I think though, all cynicism aside, we've all been through this, right? It's baby steps. And so if years ago, if you said something like LEED to somebody, they pretty much thought you used a four-letter word, right? Yeah.
No, they did the Robert Downey Jr. eye roll. Yeah. That's what that was.
Well, maybe you were dealing with better people than I was. But, you know,
of course, they're hotel people.
Definitely was not positive. It's the company keeper. I understand. We'll have a different conversation about that one later when I get back home. the thing about it is that now that it has become more acceptable, I think it's the nature of human beings, and I think that rightfully so, a lot of people are positively minded. They want to do the right thing. They want to leave things better than they found them. And so now it's like, well, what else can I do? Right? And so I think, yes, we both heard that word, and it was very, very, very interesting for me because it sounded like it went beyond where we are now, that we are trying to actually achieve more by bluing.
Well, I'm going to have to look into that term.
Good. Then we'll have you back. We'll have you back.
I'll have Tony Liu with Partner Energy come back and talk about bluing.
There we go.
Yeah, we want you back to talk about blue and green. Okay, so put that on your calendar.
Deal.
Hey, Rad, we're down to our last couple of minutes. So, any burning desires or questions you want to ask?
I do. I actually wanted to ask. This is just kind of more of a general kind of state of being out there in the state of California. We know it's a market that's always going to be hot. You know, it's a destination draw. It's sixth largest economy. I'm just curious personally, because you guys, I think, get those calls. Has there been a shift, Jenny, in what people are looking for in terms of properties? Are you seeing more focus on maybe, you know, smaller boutique, existing established destinations where people are looking for properties that maybe can be converted, added onto? I'm just curious. Or is it more new construction? I mean, I heard today that the project for the redoing of the Dana Point Harbor had just been kind of a consortium has been selected by the city of Dana Point, including our friends from R.D. Olson, by the way, Greg.
Great.
That this has been in the works for over 12 years or 20 years, and this is now finally moving forward. There's a new boutique hotel that is planned for overlooking the harbor from the headlands. So it's interesting. It seems to me like we're still doing hospitality projects, but the nature of where people are going is becoming a little bit more specialized in boutique. And I'm just curious, Jenny, from your perspective, if you're seeing any trend change. that way.
Yeah, definitely. So, like I said earlier in the conversation, I think, you know, everything's still being refinanced. So
right.
That's still happening, right?
Yeah.
But that's not,
yeah.
that's just repositioning or pulling money out. With respect
right.
to construction, so we have a very robust construction side of our business as well. So we do like the document cost review, the budget reviews, the monthly inspections, a lot of times for lenders, but also third-party equity partners as
there
well.
There you go.
So from that perspective, I see, like you said, very small niche markets. I'm still looking at new
yeah.
projects, but in that degree, although our construction group is very, very busy with current construction projects, new ones, I feel like, has dropped off
a little bit. Softened a little bit.
Yep.
Well, is that because we might be, say,
the end of the cycle?
Bottom of the eighth?
Yeah.
You know?
So he's,
mid
you know,
seven.
Let me get my crystal ball.
Yeah, mine's got a crack in it, so it's in the shop getting fixed. So I've got no clue on that. So, but yeah, I think.
Yeah, but that has served you well, again.
The crack, you know, or the crystal ball?
No, the crack.
Oh, okay.
The crystal ball. Yeah. But I think it is an, especially I think in California, right? I mean, I hate to once again kind of rah-rah California, but the show is called Check Out California. So I think we really sometimes end up being very innovative and kind of trailblazing in some of the stuff. And they all look at us and go, you know, you're the left coast kookies over there. But it is fascinating what comes out of this sort of construction industry that is sort of environmentally sensitive, that is sort of better placemaking, if you will. And I'm really excited, actually, to see what's coming next.
Absolutely. I think, that's one of the nice things about living in California and doing business here. You know, there's a lot of things that are borderline or could be a little harder to do here, or quite a bit harder. But, you know, our standards help set most of the EPA and as the nation goes. Now, granted, our EPA is under attack, and I won't go under that. And, Paul, we're going to run long.
oh, no, don't get him started on the EPA and all those other things.
But,
here.
You know,
Cut him off, Paul. Cut him off. Cut
yeah,
his mic.
You know, it really is, you know, we do create a building, an environment. We protect an environment. We create that wow factor that a lot of other states don't create. And I think it's because of, you know, we are a melting pot. We've got, you know, from the alt-right to the extreme left and everything in between. And I think that's part of the reason why diversity in this state, and this is one of the reasons why you and I created this show, Rad, was to celebrate those diversities, to celebrate, travel and income and hotels and everything else that comes into California.
You know, it's fascinating, Greg. I mean, we did set it up for that, and there's so many layers to this that are not, you know, we're just looking at one state, right?
Right.
There's so many layers, even when we've touched on this with some previous guests, you know, that even depending on where you are in the state of California, the dynamics are different.
Oh, they change dramatically. Huge difference, you know, Santa Monica and Palm Springs. Hey, and on that note, Paul's threatening to cut us off. He's got to go. Jenny, thank you so much for being on Check Out California today.
It's a pleasure.
Rad, you were missed. We need to have Jenny back and have all three of us in the room at the same time. It's been a great conversation.
You know what? I would love to do that. Jenny, again, thank you so much for being there. Sorry I missed being there with you in person, but great show, guys.
Well,
I really
have a drink for me
input.
In Vegas.
I will do that, and I will send you guys a picture. But
actually, you can go to YouTube and see Rad Gantos Television from Vegas,
live from the Nickel Slots.
No. You know, I have a group of people here. We have a standing arrangement. When we show up in Vegas, there's a box with a lock on it. We put our cell phones in there, and we lock the box. And we only get it back as we are leaving town. So, you know, safe.
Yeah, but it's all those security cameras. They gotcha.
Well, then you call your friends and you get some luck. But listen, thank you again, Jenny. Thanks, guys. Great show. I appreciate you accommodating me being here. I really enjoyed being with you guys and over the internet. But I would love to have you back, Jenny. Would love to have you back as a guest.
And let's quickly plug the Click Conference here.
California Lodging Investment Conference, and Jenny will be there. She is going to possibly be doing double duty, moderating a panel and participating on one. Partner Engineering and Science has been one of our founding sponsors, and Jenny has been a tremendous friend and one of the best people in the industry to help you deal junkies, to get your deals closed on time. So you need to contact her, and please go to cliconference.com. Registration is open. We've got a special discount for our Checkout California listeners of Checkout CA, and that'll give you an additional 20% discount. Again, Checkout CA, and it's the California Lodging Investment Conference, cliconference.com. You can register, see the agenda, and we will see you there in March.
And Jenny, how do we reach you?
Oh, let's see. Email is best. Jenny@partneresiforengineeringscienceincorporated.com.
And did we do a shout-out to Park West here yet?
We did, but let's do another one. Park West General Contractor, specializing in commercial real estate and hospitality practices throughout the Western U.S. Make sure you call Big Ed La Civita and Chris Hostert. Okay. I'd also like to thank Park West General Contractors for sponsoring today's show. Edward La Civita and Chris Hostert over there. This is a great commercial and hospitality general contracting firm. They work throughout the Western United States. Lots of experience. They've done close to 500,000 square feet of creative office space here in Southern California. And hotel pips and repositioning both open and closed assets throughout the Western U.S. So I think Paul's just about ready for the commercial. So go to parkwestgc.com and tell Ed and Chris that you heard Craig Sullivan talking about their firm. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
I got...
Uh-oh, we cut off Rad.